Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is Ellie Steele. And tonight we're going to take a trip to the fourth dimension. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I've been doing a lot of research lately for my next book. And I've been deeply involved with a number of books from a number of authors, both all either 21st and 20th century and 19th century. Tried researching the existence of a fourth dimensional existence, and I've been fascinated by the concept and the remarkable writings by so many incredible authors and people who have channeled works and so on. These are the, as far as I'm concerned, these are the mainstay of metaphysical writings, things that transcend your thoughts and emotions to an extent that you no longer exist within the subterranean levels that you once dwelled in, you know, without sunlight. You need light, you know, and you need light. And either adapt to the light or you must live in darkness. And these are the quintessential elements. You have the yin and the yang, or, you know, and maybe I'm wrong in this assumption, but because this book that I'm about to bring to you tonight, which is called it's called The Bringers of the Dawn, and Teachings from the Palladians, and it's overwhelming. It's an absolutely overwhelming book by Barbara Marciniak. I'll spell that out for you. Barbara, Marciniak. Barbara Marciniak. And it was published by, let's see here, Bear & Company Publishing, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Bringers of the Dawn, Teachings from the Palladians. Barbara Marciniak, and edited by Tara Thomas. And they did a remarkable job. Let's see, Library of Congress, copyright Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, Teachings. She also has several other titles out, Spirit Writings, Pleiades, Miscellanea, and title. This book was, I thought it was written later, it was written in 1992, published in 1992, remarkable year, if you remember, I know that year so well, it was a horrible year for me personally, but that was also the year of the first World Trade Center attack, so it was a significant year in current history for many, many people. So it was for me, and of course, you know, the first entry of the palace of the false flag terror scare, you know, that we had in 1992, and so that's significant in itself. And she dedicates the book to the family of light. Yeah, that's a beautiful tribute when you realize the beauty of the book, the remarkable intelligence and seeming accuracy, I believability there. If anybody who's into the more esoteric studies and understands emotional reading and emotion, you know, where you actually are learning through osmosis in the sense that you are learning in the most natural way, okay, by being a part of, by absorbing that information. So it's as though the doors open between the two dimensions, okay, the fourth and third and fourth dimension for you. And there's suddenly a portal or a gateway or a horizon, you know. Like I say, let's say the great vision of the early pioneers, the early settlers who pushed on and pushed on and pushed on to this great vision and this beautiful little home that they thought they might have. And that vision drove them on through the hardships of the third world, third dimension, and the experiences and the pain and suffering and sorrow that they felt. And to get to that vision, and to create that vision, to want to achieve the highest and best possible thing in your mind can hold for you personally, but as well as for a community or as well as for a world, not understanding full well that you're not the only person in the world, and knowing that the old world encompasses multitudes of people, countless multitudes of people of all races, all sexes, all desires, all blemishes, all beauty, all everything. Everything that is possible, like you see in the forests or flowers or, my God, it's just like, it's just wonderful. But that is the essence of what we will see in the fourth dimensional state. And the proof to that statement is basically that in our dream state, where everything is normally peaceful, where everything normally floats in a timeless vacuum, well, that's more or less what it is in the fourth dimension. In the third dimension is the only, in this dimension, we created time. There's no such thing as time in any other dimension, but as we know it, it's not really equated into the same way. Just like we can't say that star is 100 light years from Earth. We can say that, okay, with accuracy because we have a pinpoint. But when you try to understand infinity, there's nothing to pinpoint. So there's no laser guidance that can actually get you there other than to just open up and accept the world for what it is up there and close like a stem. Closes behind you, and protects you from that world and grew you out, and then so you can blossom into this remarkable, infinite measure of beauty, and continue to grow and multiply and grow and multiply. And that is the essence of God. And the God we talk about here in this book, I'll introduce him as we see him as the prime creator, right? The prime creator. The book is so profound; it has to be read in chapters, and it shouldn't be missed because these are all channeled thoughts through Barbara Marsniak, and this is how it is. There's a foreword, which I think I'll pass on a foreword because it's rather lengthy, and it's from the editor. But it's just, about 10 pages long. And then there's a preface. If you can bypass, I would 20 or 25 pages of preface before you get to the real thing. Then we get into the works of the channel, and absolutely remarkable. I don't know exactly how to take it myself. If I should present it from the sense of how. It was though I was, and like they say in here, you're mirroring yourself. Everything you do is a mirror of yourself. And so good or bad or, you know, indifferent, whatever the thought may be, you're mirroring your thought with your action. Okay. So, in essence, if you have a thought, all right, that crystallizes into a vision, all right, then from that vision, you can set the parameters and understand the geometry, okay, that's involved in setting up this perfect image that you have, or vision, to create that vision, okay, first from the thought to the vision to the actual creation. So now we're dealing, what we are is co-creators. We are co-creators with the prime creator who created us, right? And it's called prime creator because it takes away the holy aspect of that, which is the mystery aspect of it. There's no mystery to it. The mystery is that God is God, and you are you, and you are a co-creator with God. He gives you the authority as a person of free will, okay, free will, again, to do as you please without his interference, okay? However, if you ask him for your interference, he will intercede, all right? And he will always intercede as the final judge and justice of the universe. So for now, for those that he's angry at, okay, he destroys or he corrects. If your hand is cancer, you know, if you have a gangrene foot, you know, and you can't save it, then you got to cut it off. And that's the way he sees it. You know, he'd rather have cut off a bad, you know, something that's rotting, something decaying, that is his creation. He's not proud of that. Nobody's proud of a decaying civilization or decaying anything. You know, you're only proud of something that's lasting and strong and gives you pleasure continually. You know, like a beautiful daughter who's constantly, happy. You know, and creating little cutouts or something. You know, or just creating fantasy. Or you know, a little boy who's, you know, playing with his trucks, being a, you know, a construction guy like his dad, you know. These are the things that are essential for a child and for an adult to have, to hold on to. Symbols of pleasure, symbols of pain, okay? And once we understand the dialect of the two, and I say the dialect of the two because they're extreme dialects. You have the acute slang at both ends, and then you have the perfect in the middle. You have the most perfect, delicate, mannered form of English, form of language. It doesn't have to be English. Be either any language, but together they kiss, you know, and the translation is perfect. So it's like these are the things that, you know, that we are working toward. And every time I read another book, or I read some, or I hear some fascinating subject, I can't allow myself just to hold on to it and just, you know, try to remember it. I have to put it out there and say, isn't this fantastic? Isn't this amazing? Isn't this something? And that's—I don't know—that it's something in me that has to share that knowledge with others. I've been like that always. I've been intolerable my whole life. So, you know, I come up with something, you know, but I always had a peak interest in these things. Not so much why things tick, but why things are, why things exist. I didn't care whether they ticked or not ticked. It was more important that they existed. Why? Why? What is this? Why is this suddenly? Why am I here? And when you wake up to that understanding within you, that why the hell am I here? What's my purpose? That's when you make all kinds of decisions, and you will make all kinds of bad choices. and some are uncorrectable. So in my circumstances, personal, there was many, many times that I had to correct myself, and I still constantly, my God, continually, daily, correct myself. I probably had the most, sublime thoughts anybody could have, in the sense of breeding somebody else's divine thought, you know, or somebody else's vision that was extremely divine. And at the same time, I've had that same reaction in the lowest sense, the most greatest shame, the greatest disgust, all right, by looking at somebody else's words and somebody else's actions, you know, or the way that person is. So so we are communicators. We seldom have our own thoughts. I mean, we do in the sense that they're unique to us through our own nervous system and comes out through our mouths and but locally, intellectually. But at the same time, we're not. We're all part of a whole. I mean, without the knowledge, this is the other fascinating thing. Every person lives. We all live together in reasonably close proximity, so we had to learn to get along with each other. And so the best way to do that was all Chinese lived with Chinese, all blacks lived with black, all white lived with white, all red lived with red, you know, that kind of thing. It was divided by races. And it was divided by tribe. So, you know, you had tribe and you had race. And then from race you had domination, you know, of the species, okay, which was a natural process. No guilt intended, just a natural process of nature, the survival of the species. So as intelligence got greater, we became much more vicious in our need to survive. And the survival wasn't just that of survival. It became more than that. It became domination of the, you know, and further, and then total control of your entire universe. You know, so that's where man has gone, where he can no longer live within his universe, okay, that was created for him. And he sees man sees the limits. He's seen the limit of this universe with the Hubble telescope, okay? He's seen the majesty of this galaxy, and he's seen the beauty of this earth that we occupy. But there is a point in the third dimensional reality that is the maximum that you can see, until you now turn into the fourth dimensional reality, which is what? Within you. Within you, you are. But when you came into the third, I'm trying to explain this because this is what this book is about. And rather than go through, you know, a bajillion words reading it, I thought I might be able to explain a little better. But I'm getting off on that subject. So what I think I'd do, I'd like to start right at the beginning with the ambassadors through time. And I think I can give you a when I first read it, which would be very much like you first listening, you'll find that it's absolutely fascinating. And I must preface this reading with a warning. and a warning is only in that if you will hear this if it's meant for you, okay? If you are one of these people, all right, or if you are a Pleiadian, okay, or an advanced intelligence, and you may not even know that you are, you may not be. Aware of your intelligence, but it's there inside you, and what's connecting you is what they call, is called the law of synchronicity. And synchronicity is that all things that are meant to be together will eventually be there together, will be together. In other words, if you were a fourth dimensional being to begin with, and you came back to the third dimension to experience something that you wanted to experience, feel third dimensional existence, and or maybe come down to help others in the third dimension by bringing them knowledge and bringing them wisdom and bringing them medicines and bringing them inspiration, bringing them hope. These are the things that are done by those who dwell in the fourth dimension. Evil cannot be tolerated there. It cannot be at all. That's what the third dimension is for. Evil dominates the third dimension. We who hope and wish for a better world are the ones who want to go to a place or create a place that is better. That's what we do. We want to create a world that's better to live in. So, simply stated, what does that do if the world is not? I mean, what are we looking at right now? We're looking at, 2,000 mile oil spill. It's about to devastate the entire south coast of the United States, Gulf Coast of the United States. Come on, it's insane. Bombs going off everywhere. You have crazy bastards ruling the world everywhere. And it's like, if we can get out of this freaking mess, all right? I want to get off this freaking planet. Okay, let's start something new. Yeah, let's try it again. Leave it to them. Let's take everything we want and go. Everything we want of this earth and go. Let's take the beauty of it and leave the rest to those who like it better when it's desolate and horrible and greed driven and vicious killing, hatred. Let that all stay on this planet, and let us take the best of this planet and move it forward, move it up, and into the fourth dimension with us. So we have the best of our lives that we bring with us always as we reincarnate, as we accelerate our evolution into the fifth dimension and sixth dimension until we reach the seventh dimension, and from there we walk into a complete oneness with God. We're back to the source. We're back to the to complete and utter fulfillment for eternity. I mean, it's just a wonderful thought. But that's where we go. That's where it is. And that's how we get there. But we have to get there step by step, And the ambassadors through time can help us get there. And I'll begin. We are here. We are the Pleiadians, a collective of energy from the Pleiades. We have a long history. Our ancestors came from another universe that had achieved completion. A universe. We are simply working on a planet coming to completion, and we are here to help you with that task. This completion, or transformation, has been heralded by many for eons. It is an important time that happens on Earth now will affect the entire universe. That's a pretty heavy way just to open a sentence, isn't it? I mean, listen, guys. Now again, I have to say this is all channeled works through this author, and not something that she's created. It's channeled by Pleiadians, or Pleiadian energy. Completion consists of you understanding who you are, so that you can go further with the experiment. Our ancestors came from a universe that had completed itself and then understood universally that it was prime creator, first cause. or the journey of Prime Creator in time. They came from a universe that had discovered its essence, creativity. By discovering that essence, we found out that we are creators. Our ancestors had a choice of returning to Prime Creator, which is simply movement, and being within that vibration or of going on, as is always the case when completion of a form has been attained. They choose to come into this universe as ambassadors because they realized that someday you would be ready for completion. They came into the Pleiades because that star system would someday be able to help you at the most difficult time, the crisis when you would be ready to reconnect with Prime Creator. Our ancestors were some of the original planners of Earth, orchestrators who seeded worlds and civilizations with creativity and love. Because of these qualifications, they like to orchestrate works, our worlds rather, just as conductors love to conduct. Our ancestors are also your ancestors, and we like to call you our ancient family, as indeed you are. And our ancestors gave them DNA to the original planners, and this DNA became part of the DNA of human species. We Palladians come from your future. In a version of our now, there exists a place of tyranny and turmoil, and we have seen probable futures of Earth that include that same tyranny and decay. Time is greatly misunderstood in third-dimensional reality. You believe that time is measured in minutes or degrees. Time is much vaster than you realize. In actuality, time codes and plays with information, allowing you to move into realities simultaneously by stretching, distorting, curving, and twisting time around. And you can get on an elliptical curve of time and experience many realities by simply going around the elliptical curve and discovering that, as time is not solid, neither is reality. As all realities are not solid, and as the future is not set, it is only a number of probabilities. We see an opportunity at this time to insert a more positive probability for Earth. We wish to reinsert light on this planet and restore Earth to its original purpose, that of becoming a magnificent intergalactic exchange center of information. So we have come back in a section of time to a place we call a kernel or a seed in order to affect change. This change will not only affect Earth, it will affect your future, our present, and the entire universe. This is big news. You have come to Earth at a time and place when evolution is at hand. A major leap is about to take place that you came to participate in, and you are not alone, for many energies are coming to Earth now to participate in this great project. There are motherships surrounding this planet that are acting as literal transducers of energy. There are beams of light coming to Earth from old and ancient star systems that have been working with you for eons, and these beams of information are being blasted into the planet. As this information is being beamed to you, your body must be able to receive it, transduce it, house it, and beam it back out to others. Many of you will build telepathic links with these motherships that will be like having your own radio stations through which you can be able to tune into a wealth of information at will. This is the evolution of superconsciousness, the evolution into the highest aspect of your being. You do not need to worry. You do not need to worry about becoming this being, for you already are this being, and you just need to remember it. Since the veils around Earth were lifted at the time of harmonic convergence, you have been steadily beamed with this energy from the outer cosmos, and it is constantly being stepped up and increased as you are able to handle it. You are evolving now at such an extremely accelerated rate that each year of this decade will be like 10 years or more from the previous century. Feel how much you will accomplish by 1999 and feel who you will be. It will be as if you had lived 100 years in a decade. It's so true. You know, the more you think about it, from 1992 in my own life, personally, to 1999, it was the most crazy freaking years of my life. Absolute crazy years. Okay, the most insane years of my life. But those years were hard, so hard in so many different ways, doing businesses and divorces and, you know, everything, just, you know, coming down on you, like you couldn't believe. You just become more, I think you become more unattainable once, you know, you essentially shut down. And once you shut down from that third world reality, you suddenly bounce into a fourth dimensional reality. So, in other words, not by suicide, but by sheer strength of will, that you squeeze your life out of that third dimensional rut, squeeze your life out of that horrendous emotional and physical and intellectual morass that you're in, and pull yourself out. And then once you pull yourself out, you become refined, you know, like a refined sugar, like a refined wine, like a refined whatever, where you need less in your, you don't want to carry so much, you don't want to feel so much, you don't want to have to carry the load anymore. You just want to be free of that emotional drain on you, and that's true. That's the gate. That's the portal that they talk about in this book. The portal to the fourth dimension, and then there are a number of portals, a number of different places as well. The Middle East is one portal into. That's why it's being fought over by the different alien species that dominate this planet, which we're aware of, and we're aware that we always have been, but unfortunately we're now at war with them in many ways, and that's why we're spending so much money on defense. But at the same time, they're winning, you know, and it's time to think of ways to stop them from winning. And the only way you can win is by running. Fighting is not going to work. These guys have infinite hate. I mean, when you deal with somebody who's a cannibal, you know, how the hell can you rationalize with a cannibal? You know, it's not going to happen. Okay? So you have to think about it, and you want to give it up to the cannibals. We gave it up before, and unfortunately that's the price. Okay. That's what people are. You know, that's where their mentality is. They have to stay there. And all of us who desire more in the world than cannibalism want to move on and want to hope for more and want to visualize greater things. So we migrate together in a mass exodus toward the fourth dimensional vision that we all carry in our minds, whatever private one that is, and that's yours to remember. I'm not sharing mine. Mine is as great as yours, and yours is greater than mine, and it doesn't matter, right? The vision should only have one thing in common, and that's to eventually be good enough and fine enough and refined enough to proudly share with others. You know, join my picnic or join my friendship, you know, be my friend, you know, I'm proud to be your friend, and that kind of thing, always. So, you know, you always want your friends to be proud of you, and you always want to be proud of your friends, and you want to be proud of yourself in the greatest sense of the word that maybe And we aren't. I mean, we never are. I'm never proud of myself. Never. I mean, I'm never proud of anything I do. Sometimes I am. But then, you know, you get kicked in the teeth and say, well, maybe I wasn't so smart on that one. So, you know, you can never praise yourself too much, and yet you can never condemn yourself too much. So it's like it's your life in bipolarity, and that's what we live in. So let's transcend, like Emerson said, began the transcendentalists, those people that were writing and thinking of ways to transcend and seeking knowledge through nature and through the cosmos and through esoteric Eastern philosophies, you know, all over, and trying to understand what their connection to the One was and how we could draw reference to that with our current daily lives. And Emerson did that better than anybody in the last 200 years. So, you know, across the board, across history, there are a few great voices, and those great voices are always there, and they always be there. And for some reason, when I read these sacred works, and I call them sacred because they are, I try to read them with the utmost sincerity that I can muster, for their original tone, you know. But I may fail quite often. I don't know. Like every day every time I work with more words and work with more themes and work with more concepts, they become easier to thread, if you're trying to create a tapestry, which is what I tried to do with my book, Naked at the Mic. That book became a tapestry, if you will, of 10 years of my life. And historically speaking, I don't mean, you know, I brushed my teeth today and that kind of thing. No, but I'm talking about the historical aspects of those years, the most historical elements, the most important treaties, the bills, the news on alternative and mainstream news. Every, you know, chronicled for the last 10 years, dated when they were written and what topics they were on these vital things that face the nation and the country, that face the nation and the world, and that became quite a task. But it was a tapestry that I kept weaving and weaving and weaving until, 364 pages later, I decided to go into two volumes. So once this, if I can sell this volume out, then I look forward to put up a volume two, and works. But at the same time, rather than get off the subject, I wanted to continue with the Pleiadians and with this work. I have about, still have half an hour. So, let me get back to. Vast plan you are participating in. All of you jumped at the chance to be here in such a challenging place at such a challenging time. You were certain you could do it. Also, you were told before you came here that there would be much assistance and that at different junctures of your development, different entities would present themselves upon the planet in different capacities to trigger you, fire you up, and remind you not to do it for you. Oh, it's amazing. And different capacities to trigger you, fire you up, and remind you not to do it for you. We are one of those triggers, a catalyst. When you hear the name Pleiadians, you feel a connection. You can't, because we are assisting you in bringing your own information, your own knowing forward. So what I want to stay here and stop right there for a minute is that they I've always believed that the only reason, I mean, there's just very few reasons why anybody would do what I do, you know, read this stuff, you know. But I feel compelled to do it, only in the sense that, which I've mentioned before, I feel that these works are so very rare and so very rarely heard, especially heard, but read even, but very seldom heard. And by, you know, read in their entirety, I'm sure they never have been, except by the author, even then. So these are the, this may be the first audio reading of this. I mean, it's possible, I don't know. But if it's not, it's one of the few that there are. And, you know, I try my best to bring it forward because it would be, you know, and I hope I'm doing a great service to these people in the sense that I'm bringing forward to the few listeners who might listen to the show, maybe 50 or 60 or 100 listeners. And, you know, I've had shows that people are thousands and several, you know, actually about the highest number of listeners for one show has been 1,000 people. So I know people are listening to these things. So for that, I feel responsible for bringing forward as much information as I possibly can, as accurately as I can, and sincerely as I can. You know, I'll go from there. But this is, I'm getting quite sidetracked tonight. There's a lot of profound information in this book. And it just keeps bouncing off you. And that's what it's designed to do. By working with you, it is our intention to offer you a reminder of who you are so that you can find the greatest source of your own inspiration. If we could assign a career to each of you, or give you a way of being, we would ask each of you to become an inspiration. When you are able to live in this capacity and to be truly an inspiration to all who encounter you, you will be living your light, and that is quite profound. Remember that we are here for our reasons, and that you are here for your reasons, and that we are all here to evolve together and create a new vibrational frequency. We wish to break belief paradigms that separate individuals as they evolve. We wish to create an ambassadorship, a game of harmony and cooperation, by giving you information that strikes you at the core of your beings, no matter what your former beliefs have been. We, the group that speaks to you, are intending to fill our own resume with some interesting experiences. When we first began speaking in 1988, our collective consisted of 50 to 75 entities, some physical, some non-physical, all Palladian. Our numbers have been growing, and our collective now consists of well over 100 entities from many different systems. We can now be called Palladians Plus, and there are those in our reality who do not believe that we can accomplish what we have set out to do with you. They feel that we are taking too many chances and too many risks, yet they are sitting on the edges of their seats to see what will happen. So in other words, the ambassadors through time are the gladiators, they have nothing to lose, really. But we do. If they don't get to us, if they don't play the game properly, and they don't, you know, work the odds the way they should. So they're saying that, look, we're working with you now, and we're trying to get you here. But the rest of the people up on the fourth dimension think we're crazy. So even on the fourth dimension, they do try to do things the old way. But we are all ambassadors, as I said. we have to look at them as we know these people. They're all around us, these ambassadors. They've taken human form, many of them. They've taken, and he explains this in this book. But even though they've taken it in human form, they don't realize that they are actually, that they are, you know, until some point in their life when the revelation occurs to them and the visitation is there. But, and then they eventually transform, but or transcend. But the world is ripe. The third dimension now is ripe to explode a new growth of harvest, if you will, of fourth dimensional beings. Those ready to join that fourth dimension, and then take it back upon itself, healing as Mother Nature always heals, and to create again another another creation, if you will, another offspring. And it becomes a joyous occasion to do that, you know, to create. So we are creators, but we accept these ambassadors to show us how to create and how to walk and talk and become fourth-dimensional beings. I'm reluctant. I was reluctant today to talk about this on the air because maybe because I'm still a novice at this level of understanding, but I find that I was compelled to put this on tonight and talk as well about it because I feel unless I can talk I can present all this stuff and make no sense and I'll be the first to tell you if something makes no sense to me. But as soon as something makes sense and really stirs my imagination and something I want to share, I immediately want to share it with somebody to validate its existence and to validate its truth. And if I can get somebody to listen to something and say, "Wow, that's really good," you know, that's really true, or something that's been validated over many 200 years, and a book that's still in print, you know, I mean, that says a lot, and that says a hell of a lot about you know the integrity of the book, and it's like the Bible. The many different books that have been preserved over time, and nothing could be greater than to write a sacred text. I mean, I can't even imagine the sublime honor that would entail to be a sacred text. And I in many ways I believe the Bringers of the Dawn is a sacred text, teaching of the Pleiades. But not so in direct from God's word, but again, the prime creator. But so many of these works are from higher ascended masters, but also from lower descended masters, those following the darkest realms. So we must fight this constantly until... So you either are going to go one way or the next. You're going to go up or you're going to go down. You're going to be Jack or you're going to be Joe. You know, that's the way you go. It's up to you. I mean, you want to be bad. If you're attracted to the evil aspect of our nature, then you know you have the right to do that. Just know that as you harm yourself or others, you harm yourself, and you'll soon be eliminated into a dark and dungeon, dirty, horrible existence. But if you aspire to greater things, even if your plight is rough and hard, you still have the hope in your mind, you still have the ability in your mind to create a vision, which once you become that vision in your mind, then it becomes a reality. And I know because so much of what I do, everything that I do, is part of my reality. But it's created before it exists. Does that make any sense? I'm creating it in my mind. I should say conceptualized before it exists. So I'm conceptualizing each aspect of my day. And what am I going to do next? How am I going to respond to this? Well, this, you know, that normal daily thoughts. I'm responding to that reality, whether it's being imposed on me by someone else, or whether I'm imposing on someone that I have to, that's my free will to do. And so, you know, without, and it's something that you should do expecting without penalty, really. It's when we add penalties into the rights and wrongs, that we cast guilt and shame and punishment. And there should be no guilt or shame or punishment. Right? Because that leads to other guilts, and that leads to crimes, that leads to the hatred, it leads to injustice, it leads to racism, it leads to every aspect, every degrading aspect of mankind's character. Okay, is based on that negative thought. So we want positive. We only want a positive reality, positive thought. And once we have that, we can never be bored. We can never be tired. We can never be fear. We have no fear. No fear. Imagine having no fear. Well, that's what these ambassadors are teaching us in this book. And I'm going to... we still have a few minutes here, and I'll see if I can get back into this. We are involved in working with you because we wish to evolve our consciousness toward more free will and expression. Just as you are on assignment to change the system that you are within, we are on assignment to change the system that we are within. We are not without our purpose. As we said, we come from your future, and in certain instances, we have our hands full. We need you just as you need us. You, as members of the family of light, can institute, implement, or insert a grand new probability in the chain of realities that will implode in the next 20 years from the sector of existence between you physically live on this planet. It is through you that the transformation will occur, and what you do now vastly affects us. What happens with Earth vastly affects us. So 1992, so he's saying by the year 2012, so he's working with the same concepts of the Mayan calendar that we, and, you know, virtually all of the predictions, you know, that 2011, 2012 will be the time of transformation, or transcendence of human evolution. And that's the separating time, that's the zero-point merge, if you will. At zero-point merge, that's when the body and the third dimension and fourth dimension merge, you know, in the middle, and they just become one, okay, at that moment. And then they pull back, but it's zero-point merge. We don't know what happens after that because we have nothing to, in our historical records that show what happened the last time this happened or if it did happen at one time or not, maybe 26,000 years ago, when the Earth shifted on its axis, you know, it's questionable, you know, it's questionable as to what, you know, what will happen. But I think where we go from there, if we look at, you know, this is the last 20 years, this is predictions, or what he said 20 years ago, is quite, quite frightening, quite accurate. Not so much frightening, but accurate. And that in the 20 years, that would be the time of collecting, the time of people recognizing who they are. And the aliens will be revealed to us. We will be revealed to ourselves. That's the unveiling. That's the apocalypse. The apocalypse in Greek, I believe it means the unveiling. And the unveiling is very possible will be the unveiling of ourselves. You know? by 2012, we will unveil ourselves and become known to ourselves who we are, what our purpose is, and to evolve, accept the evolutionary tidal wave that will sweep us into the fourth dimension. Some of us will surf into it, and others will, try to swim through it, and others will try to barely survive through it. Don't want to turn back to shore, but not me. Take me on to the, wherever. Take me on. I'm getting tired of the other place. Just take me on. Let me go. Infinite wave, carry me along. And I'll be happy as a clam. But eternally, it'd just be a wonderful thing, I think. So, all in all, Ed, we only get a few more minutes left. Maybe I can get through just a few more paragraphs. We are here to assist, to teach, and to evolve as we go through the process together. We give our version of things only to bring you into higher consciousness. We do not wish to say that this version, and only this version, is how it is. This whole teaching is designed with a great purpose in mind, and the stories that we tell you are set up to take you to a higher plane of consciousness. That is our intention. The words that we choose and the concepts of which we speak are triggers for codes, your codes that are stored deep inside of your bodies. Your bodies are waiting for the questions to be posed so that you can begin to resonate with the answers inside or of your cells, so that the cellular memories within your body can begin to remember what they already know. As we speak to you, you will remember. In speaking to you, we wish you to expand your definition of reality. However, never take anything we say literally. Always follow the larger spiral that we are intending to create that allows you to see the bigger picture. Never stop where we define an idea, since we are simply here to open up your paradigms and rattle your cages so that you can begin to find the activation of the real knowledge, the true knowledge, that is stored inside of you. And that is where the data is, and we have come to awaken it in you. Gotta change the page here. For some reason, it's very... Okay. We wish to throw out ideas for your consideration. Looks like I have about a minute left of the show. I'm going to finish this chapter. It's only another page. But if I cut off, you can pick it up in about 15 minutes in the archives. So thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed the show. We wish to throw out ideas for your consideration. We wish to encourage you not to get stuck on any other idea, and also to embrace what you are hesitant about or are fearful of. Realize that when you face the so-called dark portions or shadows portions of yourself, you are creating an opportunity of liberation for all concerned. This comes back in the first and final tenet, thought creates. No matter what situation you find yourself in, it is the power of your thoughts that got you there. It is also the impeccable belief that thought creates what it will transform your experience and a planetary existence. We recommend that you do a little questioning of your own, who over-defines and tells you absolutes. It is important to hear many different opinions and many different stories, and listen to persons' stories. Then see if it feels right. Is it for your own benefit and uplift? One of the things that we like to teach you is that it is up to you to decide what to do. We give you information, however, it is up to you to decide what to do with it, and you are in charge of your life. We are not. We like to pride ourselves on being storytellers. There is a certain credibility and a certain sensationalism in the way we present data. However, a story that we tell you at one point is certainly not the only story. It is not the end, and it is never the only truth. It is only one fragmentation, one small portion of the bigger picture. No matter what story we tell you today, we guarantee that that a year from now, we will tell you a different story, because a year from now, you will be able to comprehend things in a grander fashion. So the story will constantly evolve. Your task is to find your identity inside the story, to find what you know. Okay. Not what you want to believe or what you have been told. And trusting what you know is imperative, for knowing is your connection to Prime Creator. And each and every one of you is going to have to know that your life is without something as you begin to remember your role and yourself chose to be here. You yourself chose to be here. You are on assignment to bring memory forward and to bring the value of human existence back to the forefront of creation. You are needed. You have been in training for this assignment for lifetimes, and you did not come unprepared. All that you need to know now is inside of you, and it is your task to remember your training. This is not a lifetime when you are going to be taught new information. As we said before, this is the lifetime when you are going to remember what you already know, and we are just here to remind you of it. That is part of our assignment. And with that, I'm going to leave in tonight, and we'll take this up next week. I wish everybody a good evening. And don't forget, you can check out Amazon, amazon.com for Naked at the Mic, M-I-C, Naked at the Mic, M-I-C, is the way I spelled mic, and The Survival of a Liberal in a Time of Peril. And if you happen to be in Connecticut and you're looking for a good time on Saturday this week, May 1st, between 1 and 3 o'clock, going down at 255 Albany Turnpike in Canton, Connecticut, for my book signing. And, I have all my buddies there, and Delilah will be there, and everybody all my regular guests on the show. And, I hope to have a good time. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. And check out Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com for Amazon.com for my book, Naked at the Mic. Talk to you next week.